Very thankful for this day, for the Lord allowing me to be part of this day. Thankful for you being here this morning. This morning, as I was up fairly early, I stepped out on the front porch there at the house, and light was just beginning to come into the sky, and I could see the light coming up over the trees. And as we all know, it's been quite unseasonably warm for this time of year. And this morning, before the sun was up, there was just a little bit of coolness in the air. The sun hadn't heated things up, and I was just enjoying that. I won't use the word crisp, but it was comfortable. And just looking at the light touching the sky and the beginning of a new day. The sky was clear from where my view. There were no clouds in the sky. And I looked up and I thought to myself, I said, what a perfect day to praise the Lord, to give glory to the Lord, to thank Him. What a perfect day. And I guess just my surroundings kind of just fed those feelings a little bit. My gratitude to the new day and my gratitude to what the Lord had done. And I prayed there, and I thought, I hope we can go to service this morning, and I hope there can be mention of His name and praise to His name and glory to His name. And I'll admit I had not yet looked at the Sunday school lesson, so I did not know what the Sunday school lesson would be about. But it was just an encouragement to me to hear us talking about a joyful people, to hear us giving reference to those that have gone before us and how they expressed their joy. And then singing songs of praise. And we sang number 68. You know, I did. I thank the Lord this morning for the day and for the light and for the little bit of coolness that He allowed this morning. But as we sang the song number 68, one of these verses said, so we're singing about, oh, praise the Lord. It says, for He keepeth our steps that we shall not fall, and delivers His saints from all their temptations. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord for His love unfailing. He doth tenderly lead in the paths of peace, and His name is a refuge from the oppressor. I think it is very good to thank the Lord for those things that we see around us, that we feel around us. But let's not forget to praise the Lord for keeping us from falling, from keeping us and for holding us, for delivering us from sin, for helping us through those temptations. Thank the Lord and praise the Lord. I've been encouraged this morning, and let's continue to praise and to thank the Lord. I've written on the board behind me, no other gods. And that is with a lowercase g, G-O-D-S, lowercase g, no other gods. I wonder what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you see this phrase or hear this. The first thing that came to my mind was one of the Ten Commandments. I think that maybe what we know it by best. When we think of no other gods, maybe we think of a statue, maybe a little figure, maybe a big brass figure, as gives reference to in the Bible. It's all through the scriptures of idols, different things like that. Something that someone might bow down before, kneel down to worship. I don't think we're too familiar with that here in the United States of America. It does go on around us in other parts of the world quite regularly, but I want to speak this morning about no other gods. And maybe try to just to see maybe a little bit more in depth of where God was coming from and why He felt the need to give this commandment. So this is taken from, of course, the Ten Commandments, and we find that over in the first account of that is in Exodus 20, and I'd like to read a few verses there. Exodus 20, starting at verse 1. It says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." And we'll stop there. So no other gods. If we look, I looked up this word before in verse 3. And it's taken from a word, it's translated from a word, A-L. And I don't know how that was pronounced. But A-L, it comes from the translation meaning above, over, upon, or against. So if we can keep that in mind, thou shalt have no other gods above me, over me, upon me, or against me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So why would God not want you to put any other gods before him? What was his reasoning in giving this commandment to Moses to bring to the people? I look at verse 5. And partway down verse 5, it says, "For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." And then I look back up in verse 2, and he says, "I am the Lord thy God." And I think that word I, that single letter I, is very important. I think he's making a point. He's given recognition to himself. He's telling Moses, he says, myself, I am the Lord thy God. And then he goes on to tell Moses what he did for them. He says, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. God is telling Moses to give to the people all credit. All glory, all recognition needs to go to me. I'm the one that did this. There was a people in Egypt that cried and cried for years unto me, unto the Lord. I heard their cries. I listened to their cries. A people that was in trouble, a people that needed help. I heard those cries, and I provided a way that they could be free. I brought them out of bondage. They came to the Red Sea. I divided the Red Sea. I did that. I divided the Red Sea. I brought them out of Egypt. I divided the Red Sea. I gave them food to eat in the desert. I sent them quail. I sent them manna. I led them with a cloud, fire. All these miracles I showed to them. And again, the importance of this word I. The Lord is saying, I am the one that did this. For the people that I love, I am the Lord thy God. And I want to think that he's telling Moses, I want you to recognize this. I want you to realize, to know that I'm the one that did these things. Why did I do these things? Because I loved you. Because you are my people, and because I want to see, because I've given you promises, and I intend to keep those promises, and my love for you is more than you will ever be able to know, to comprehend, and to be able to understand. I am your God. I am the Lord thy God. So why would God not want anything to be put in front of that? He is a jealous God. He deserves all credit, all glory, all praise, nothing. God used Moses. God worked through Moses. But all glory and all credit still goes to the Lord. The Lord wants our all the glory, all the recognition, and most of all, He has showed us love, and what does He want in return? He wants love. Love from us, love from our heart. That dedication, our thoughts, our willingness, our efforts. I, the Lord, am a jealous God, and I want you. I want all of you. And I don't want to share that with anything else. I want it to be you, and I want it to be me in this relationship. I want there to be something between us. So I don't want any, I don't, Lord help me, no other gods. I don't want you to allow anything. Now I know this verse 4 says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And so I think about where these people come from. They come out of Egypt. And if you know any history of Egypt, you know that Egypt was full of idols and things that people worshipped and all the different gods that they had, and won't get into the history of it. And I can't help but wonder if these people were influenced by some of those things. I believe for the most part these people were a people that loved God. They cried out to God. He heard their cries. But with the circumstances that they were in and the things that were going on around them, I can't help but wonder if they were influenced. If they saw the things going on around them, they saw what the Egyptians did. They saw who and what the Egyptians served. And I liken that to us here today. We know who God is. We know the God we serve. We bow down to the one, the true, the one and only God. But do you know how many things are going on around us today that we can be influenced by? Even though we know that I might need to stay away from that thing, I might need to guard against that thing, I believe those things can still have a great impact and a great influence on our lives. There are so many things that we are consumed with, so many things that we are bombarded with. There are so many things that we have the potential to fall in love with. So many things that we can begin to desire and to want. And if we're not careful, depending on how much attention and how much effort we put into these things can become something that we put above or before the true God with a capital G. These things can become a lowercase g, those things of more importance than where God is in our lives. We are so, not we in this building, but we as a people. I mentioned this morning I'm very influenced in Sunday school. I mentioned that I'm a person who is influenced and swayed by my circumstances and my surroundings and different things that I go through. And I think it's true though for people in general. We have people with popularity and And we so many times will hear their opinion on something, a political view or what they think the best brand of something is. And we are so easily swayed and influenced of what somebody else is doing or what they think is the best way to do things or the latest gadget or whatever it is that they have. And we can begin to take on the mindset that, well, maybe I should try this, or maybe that's the best thing for me. So this world does have a lot to offer. There is many, many things to be interested in, to be involved with. But I believe the challenge is no other gods, that we not let these things begin to consume us and to begin to control our lives. Lord, help me to not let anything or anyone, no matter what, distract. That it might start to steal our time, our attention that so deserves to go to God. I had felt that I didn't want to get into specifics, but there are, let's just be careful. Where our time is allotted to, I feel like there's been mention recently of a specific things, and I don't feel the need to go through those things, but let's step back from time to time and let's be very aware of where our time and what our time is allotted to. We can begin to put things, I will mention a few. We can begin to put simple things of more importance. We can begin to put our jobs, our money, as gods in our life. Family vacations can become gods in our life. Going here and there and prioritizing those things over maybe other places the Lord wants us to go can become things in our life. Phones, tablets, Facebook, Pinterest, all those things, folks, they can become gods in our lives. And the Lord says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Please don't put anything in your life. Don't give it more importance. Don't give it more love. Don't give it more devotion. Don't give it more time than you're giving me. Lord, just help us to be aware of these things that have the potential. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God loves us. God helps us. God brought these people out of Egypt. God has brought us to a place where we can love and we can serve Him and we can come to Him anytime that we feel the need. And that's what He wants us to do. Lord, help us to recognize and to know what God has done for me. And then that I will put everything in its proper place. And I want to mention one other thing. I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. So the burden is no other God before me, not putting anything of more importance in our lives than we give to God. No place we may go, no anything. But I want to add something else in there, and the scripture does not bring this out in these verses. But I want to mention anyone, that we should not put anyone before God. I think it's very important to remember that all credit, all glory, and all praise go to the Lord. In the past, man has been lifted up. and man has been given credit and praise and glory that should have went to God. Let me tell you just a quick little story. True happening about 2 or 3 weeks ago. There is a professional football team not too far from here in New Orleans. New Orleans Saints. And they have an individual on that team, their quarterback. His name is Drew Brees. And I'm not here to promote football and talk about football this morning. But I want to bring out the importance of how man can be lifted up. And here about, I think it's been 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, they were playing a game on Sunday, and Drew Brees, the quarterback, well, I guess you could say the most important person on the team, hurt his thumb. Now, this is a person who is arguably, maybe currently the best, or one of the best. I'll say he's probably definitely in the top three, if you keep up with any kind of football. One of the best quarterbacks to date, and maybe one of the best that have ever been. Has broken records, has set records, knows his game, knows what he's doing, and is good at what he does. Well, he hurt his thumb here a few weeks ago, and they had to pull him out of the game, and come to find out that he was going to have surgery on his thumb. And the report showed, I believe, that he was going to be out 6 weeks. When I tell you they had some devastated people, they had some devastated people. I remember going to work Monday morning, and one of my coworkers, a lady, was telling me that her daughter called her the day before when she read the report and saw that Drew Brees was going to be out. Well, first of all, she called her mom and was almost in tears that he had got pulled out of the game because she didn't know what they were going to do. But then she called her mom back later that night when the report came out, or whenever it was the report came out that he might be out to 6 weeks. And her mom says she was just bawling and squalling that he wouldn't be back for another 6 weeks. I say that to say he was lifted up. They had so much, and it was more than that one person. There was this person and what he did for this team, and this team, I believe it's safe to say that this became a God in these people's lives. I even saw one report, and they were wishing him the best wishes. Get well soon. I hope you can return soon. And I cringed at the wording they used. They said, "Get well soon, St. Drew." And I thought to myself, I thought, people, what are you doing? Do you realize what you're saying? This man has done many great and wonderful things, but all his strength and everything that he's been able to accomplish, his physical abilities, we have to give credit to the Lord. I'm not saying the Lord helps win football games. But what I'm saying is everything that he has been capable of doing throughout his life, it had to come from somewhere. So the only credit, the only person, if you can allow to say that, the only credit can be given to God. That's a story in the world. That's a story that none of us may or maybe cannot relate to. But I think about those among us, right here and among us, amongst the saints, the people we see when we go to camp meetings. And I think how important it is. And I'm not trying to say that this happens all the time, but I feel like we should be careful of where we put people in our minds. I remember growing up just a little boy, and you see a certain preacher get up and get behind the pulpit, and either if you were paying attention as a little boy, sometimes you thought, and your heart would just sink if you see a certain individual get up. I mean, we're going to be here an hour and a half. Or it might be somebody that you know preaches 20 minutes and, well, he gets up, you know, and it's understandable at a young age. Let's not begin to play favorites among the saints, among who God has called to the ministry, among those who God has called to exhort and to give exhortations. You know, I can be, if I'm not careful, I can hear or see someone give an exhortation. And I can see a response to that. Maybe some altar work or see how it's blessing somebody. It might bless me. But then I can also hear someone, and I remember Brother Marty making reference to this, that he was in a meeting and he saw someone get up and the word went forth and that minister sat down and Brother Marty said, that was just so dry. Maybe you remember the story. He said, there was nothing in that. He walked away from that, thought, there was nothing there behind the pulpit this morning. And his heart kind of sank. Well, then he went on to say, he heard somebody else making the comment, that was one of the most uplifting things they had ever heard. But folks, if we get in the mindset and we start looking here and we think, oh, he was so inspired and man, the Lord's blessing him. And we look over here and, oh, there's nothing in that. Why is he here and why is he preaching? Lord, help us to give credit where credit is due and to give God all the glory and all the praise, because He is the one that provides. He is the one that gives the capabilities. No other gods before me. And I'm not saying that we set men up and that we bow down to them and worship them. No, we don't do that. Or I hope we don't do that. But let's give God the glory and give Him all the praise. You know, it's, as humans, it's only natural that we're going to look for things in life to fill voids, to heal hurts. It's only natural that we're going to look around and look for something to hold to and look for something to love. It's, God created us that way. God gave us the desire to want to have certain things and to look to certain people. But He also said, don't have any other gods before me, because I am your God. I am the one that wants to fill those places in your life. I am the one that wants to fill those voids. I am the one that I want you to run to. I don't want you to run to this certain thing. And as humans, it's easy. If there's not a lot going on, if we don't see something tangible to hold, or we don't have that certain book to pick up and read, it's easy to get kind of restless and get kind of fidgety and want to do something. And maybe we go eat and we do something constantly to fill our time. Be careful. Will we put our time to? And what we are, where we are putting our efforts, and what we are giving our attention, what we are putting of more importance to God. I do think of a verse I wanted to read. It's in Colossians 3 and 2. And that verse says, set your affections. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. You know, we have to have things on this earth. We have to. I have to have these things. But don't put my love. Don't hold on to these things if it's the only thing that I have to hold on to. Don't run to this pastime just to fill the voids. And don't go here. And I believe you know what I'm trying to say. Don't have any other gods before me. Put me where I deserve to be in your life. God has done and provided us for us in so many ways and has loved us beyond our comprehension, beyond our understanding. And I believe what He wants from us in return is our love for Him. Help us to love Him above anything else. Y'all pray for me.